Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1061. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me for this episode, co-host of the show, we have Pete.
What is up? I am the captain now. Paris is not here, and it's okay.
Yes, taking a break from Paris. Taking a break from Paris.
What's up, man?
Nah, just everything is good, man. What's up? What's up with over there, man? Europe, man. How's things over there, man? Weather.
Weather.
So that picture you posted yesterday.
Thank you. Yeah. Decided yesterday. Well, I had been talking about it with my colleagues here and some friends about trying to tackle one of the mountains here, and I did it. I tackled Mount Rigi. It is known as the Queen of Mountains here in Switzerland. One of the great things about it is that it's very centrally located in Switzerland. And from the from the peak where we were yesterday, we can see 25 of the 29 cantons. Cantons here are what in the States would be known as states, right? So I was able, from my vantage point, I was able to see into around 25 of the 29 cantons here. Was able to see multiple mountaintops. It's just, it's such a spectacular view when you're that high up. It was almost 1,800 meters, so 50, almost 5,000, you know, over 5,000 feet for those that are using non-metric standards. But yeah, it was quite a hike. I mean, yes, it's 1,800 meters, but I had to do over 14 kilometers of traveling. I think it like roughly translates to over 9 miles. So me, my coworker, and his wife started at the bottom, made it to the top. Took us about 4.5 hours total.
Nice.
We had to take a couple of breaks because when you go that far, you have to take your breaks and, you know, take some snacks and water breaks. But other than that, it was an opportunity to get outside, and I'm thankful that here in Europe that we're able to do that with. And it's still the same, right? Like I have to take a boat and a train to get there, and I still have to wear my mask. But once you're out in the wilderness, you know, you're on a mountaintop, there's not that many people surrounding you. So, you know, we even kept our 6-foot distance from each other. You know, I was up front, and even though it was the first time both of, you know, the three of us had gone, but, you know, we had our maps. We had our apps on our smartphones guiding us the way up, and man, I don't know if and when I'll do it again. I might stick to smaller.
Why not? It looks cool. It looks amazing, man. I love that view.
You say that from the wonderful confines of your air conditioned room over there, but when you're traveling 14 kilometers uphill, it
in the middle of the summer.
I mean, it was great. It was great at the beginning it was great. The weather was phenomenal the entire time. But as you break cloud cover and you actually start getting the coolness of from the top of the mountain washing over you, it's refreshing until you're soaked in sweat and that coolness becomes coldness. So there were moments where it was chilly for me, but it was still good enough and enjoyable enough that I appreciated, you know, being, you know, like heated up from the exercise, but also cooling down from the weather around me. But I mean,
yeah, that's cool.
You have the opportunity to do that's it at cool. any given time. I would say jump on it, man, because it's a life-changing experience being up there.
Well, hopefully if I'm there, Pete, you want to do it together?
I'm down. I'll take you. No, I'll take you.
All right.
I'll document it and just so we can all laugh at it later, because it's, change. It's life-changing. Let me tell you.
Definitely, man. Yeah, we'll do it. All right, so Paris is not going to join us for this episode, but hopefully, once again in the future, he'll be back here. Head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. Also, listen to our past episodes. You can find us on any podcast app, super easy. just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Make sure to follow us, subscribe, post a review if you can, and so on. Also, if you'd like to be part of fan mail, this is how you contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so in this episode, we can answer questions, strictly fan mail edition. I love doing this. This is like my favorite part of the show because we're going to be answering questions from our listeners worldwide. But first, I want to mention this, man. So the other day, Pete, I watched a new docuseries that's coming out actually this week on Netflix called High Score. This is a 6-part episode. Each is like around 40 minutes or so. And it's about the classic video games, the history of all stuff that happened behind the scenes in gaming since like the late 70s, early 80s, and so on. So they had a really good topics for the first season. One of them is Pac-Man, Star Fox, console war. How was it? Super Nintendo, Nintendo versus Sega Genesis around that time. And it's really good. It's highly recommended. So this is not 100%, but I might have the filmmakers of the docuseries on Gamertag Radio maybe this week, or if not, next week. But if you get the chance and you have Netflix, it's highly recommended to watch this docuseries. It's coming out this week, I think the 19th, if not Friday, one of the two. It's called High Score. And for those that don't know, this is also narrated by a person that did the voice for Mario, Luigi, and all the Nintendo characters. He narrated the whole thing. It's freaking amazing. It's so good. So good. So highly recommend it. Watch it with your family or by yourself. It's all good. All right. So we have fan mail here. And let's do this. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, Pete, we have questions, voicemails, we have emails. Which one we should start? Want to go to the audio part or the email
we're
part?
I'm doing the audio. You can do the reading stuff. I got way too many things up on my screen right now.
It's all good.
Right, so we'll start off with the first voicemail here. Here we go.
Hi, Danny, Paris, and Pete. Nightlife here with a quick question. PlayStation 5, it's going to cost more than $600, right? With so much proprietary software development, physical hardware, technology development, and trying to even outpace some of the PC and Mac machines for consumer purchase out there, that much research and development is going to cost a pretty penny, and it's got to be passed on to somebody. And if people are really willing to upgrade to such a fantastical experience, maybe they think $650 to $750 is possible. Thanks once again for everything, guys. Keep up the good job.
All right, Danny. PS5 costs more than $600. You think it's feasible? Do you think it's ooh. What are your thoughts?
And there's a rumor that the Xbox Series X might cost $599. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I think it is possible that PS5 might cost that price too. The only difference is, remember, they have two versions. For Xbox side, they haven't announced the second version yet. But for this version, maybe the one with the disc might be $599, and then the digital version will be $499 or $399 if PlayStation really wants to take it there and make it low. But my question to you is, not to you, but I'm talking to the listeners overall. Do you see yourself buying a PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X just in case both of them cost $599? Do you see yourself buying it at launch? Do you see yourself waiting until next year or what? Make sure to answer that question. Let us know. But Pete, what about you? What do you think? Do you think is it going to cost $599 or maybe less?
If they release a price that's going to be high, I think $599 is probably going to be the higher side of it. I still think in order to capitalize on trying to get as much of your consumer base to stay. I think anything, I think 500 might be your limit. 599 is really stretching it. You also have to take into consideration the current times that we're in. The pandemic right now has really affected a lot of people, and not everybody has 500, much less 599. That extra $100 could go a long way, regardless of who or where you're at. So the more they increase that, the higher it's going to impact your consumers from just in general. Just think about it. We're looking, and I'm not trying to go to into a political stance here, but it's you have to take that into consideration, whether you're middle class or lower class, or whether you've been unemployed. Worldwide, we've seen people being impacted in such a way that they can't afford things right now, and you have to take into consideration food for your family, making sure the lights stay on, and making sure that you're you can continue supporting your family, not just this month, but in the months to come. You've got to really plan out to see what you can take care of. So right now, is a $600 PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X really a priority for me or you or, our listeners? Yes. We've probably all had an opportunity to start, saving away, pennies and stuff like that and setting up a fund for it. But you really have to take into consideration the current economic situation, the current economic state that we're all in right now. Can we handle that? Mm-hmm. Is it worth doing right now?
Mm-hmm. Or my thing too is, let's just say this is the price, $599. I just don't know, personally for me, Pete, right now, the past generation or so, I've been just buying stuff digitally, and there's no reason for me to buy a console with a disc drive in there. I'd rather go digital, and I bet you that version is going to be cheaper. So if you do plan to buy a console, go with the cheap version, man, and also go with the version that you're going to use the most. I think digital is the way to go, man. I think that's going to cost way cheaper than the disc drive version, So I go with that, man. So, and for you, Pete, I mean, you in Paris, you guys are used to the whole digital stuff, because for your PC, it's all your games is all digital. So this would make no sense to get anything with a disc drive. Like, I don't remember the last time I bought an actual disc, a physical version. I don't remember the last time I did that. For me, it's been a while. It's been a very long time.
I mean, we've all been fortunate being in this industry that a lot, like over the last 5 years, it's been very rare that we buy one, much less if it's not already sent to us, either in a digital format for us to download, or they send us, a box with the game included inside. So in that respect, yeah, I can see how some people would be, okay, damn, do I really need a digital version? Do I really need a physical version? Some people like that tangible thing, though. They like holding it. I used to be one of those. I used to say, no, I want the physical thing. I want to put it in on my mantle, or I want to put it on, the shelf along with my hundreds of other games, which at the end of the day, they all went in a box and I gave them away. When I sold my Xbox One and my PlayStation, actually my Xbox One Day One and my Xbox One S, I sold them with a pair of headphones and like five games just to get rid of them. Granted, mine was a different situation where I had to get rid of stuff because I was moving, and that's those were just less things for me to take over. But that was my mind state 5+ years ago. Times have changed, and I think, as technology and as the infrastructure for technology improves, especially in the States, it's better elsewhere, but especially in the States, until that infrastructure is better, I think there's always going to be people who want to have that physical copy. And in that regards, that is going to be the delineating factor for people who are you know, who's like, damn, you know, I want, or they need it for just that specific reason. They have to have the physical copy because of, you know, how they feel about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, it depends on whether the desire to have a physical copy outweighs the desire to have a better performing box. Because remember, it's not just a discless version. Sometimes it's mm-hmm. you're gonna get some performance tweaks because you know it's you know the digital version may not always be the best version, right? Is it like we'll take Xbox for example. Lockhart is supposed to be pared down. It's not supposed to be as powerful as an Xbox One X or an Xbox Series X. Sorry. So is that PlayStation 5's you know solution? Are they going to be the exact same way? Are you going to get a lesser performing box because you're going digital?
Yeah. I mean, if you don't care much about 4K, then you could go with Lockhart because Lockhart is just 1080p. It's a little bit more powerful than the X. But I mean, if you want to go on that route, you could do that too.
Of course. I mean, at the end of the day.
I mean, as long as you play the games, that's all that matters.
Well, man. I mean, it's all preference. But mm-hmm. a large component of that is, can you afford it? I mean, 500. At the end of the day, for me or you, 500 is still a lot to swallow.
That's a lot. I mean, you guys do that with PC. It's like nothing for you guys.
Yeah.
you know, once I do that. It's more for people, the console guys are like, ugh, 500. We're the ones like more picky when it comes to that. But PC gamers, dude, that's nothing. Nothing for you guys.
But see, here's the thing. Once I do that, that's all I do. My PC is done. Yes. 3080, yeah. The 3080 is supposed to be announced in 45 days or whatever. And we'll have I'll have to revisit that conversation at that point. But like I said last week on the show with Paris, unless that 3080 Ti after, you know, the third party version of it comes out, I'm not buying it because I'm not going to buy a blower card. I'm not going to buy a reference card from Nvidia. I would much rather wait and get the third party aftermarket version because it's going to perform better. You're not going to have as much limitation. You'll be able to overclock it. And that's just my preference. I just don't believe in blower reference cards.
All right. So I have an email here, and look, you can send us feedback. It doesn't have to be all questions all the time, but I like these first time listeners sending us messages here. This is Eric. He says, "So let me start off. I just started listening to your podcast 3 episodes ago. I believe it was the talk on the Microsoft event, which I think it was the Xbox Games Showcase. That was like a couple episodes ago. I really enjoyed your banter and views on gaming. Definitely loving it. Keep up the amazing work. Thanks for what you do. P.S. I've been a gamer since Mario Brothers on the NES. Got it for my 5th birthday, 1989. Haven't looked back since. P.P.S. Paris got me thinking about Destiny 2 all over again. And boom, now I'm back online. And loving it. Started from scratch, seeing as the first playthrough only had maybe 4 hours in total. I passed that today alone on 8/15/2020. Paris, you converted another one. Destiny is a pretty damn good game. Keep up the great work. Eric from Texas." There you go. Shout out to Eric, man. Thank you for the message here, man. Here's another one. This is from Jonathan. There's no location here. He writes, "Hey, Danny, I was just writing to say that I found you on the episode of Dude Soup, and I wish I found you guys earlier. I love listening to people who have the passion for talking about video games. Your passion shines through you, and your voice is something refreshing in this day and age. I'm already following you on Spotify. Will definitely turn into a regular listener. I don't know how often you read these through these emails, but I hope it reaches you. Thank you, Jonathan." So shout out to Jonathan. Thank you so much for listening to the show. And I'm curious where you're from. Make sure to let us know when you sent us a voicemail or email. Tell us your location, man. I love hearing this, man. I was telling this to shout out to Tony. We were hanging out a couple of weeks ago at the park, and I was telling him how cool it is getting these emails from listeners worldwide. You know, we had listeners from like right now on Twitch, we have one from all the way from Japan. A couple of days ago, we had an email, actually a voicemail from a listener from Haiti, from a bunch of locations, man. So it's pretty cool to see that, man. You know, it feels like we're all closer. It doesn't feel like everybody's super far away from each other. You know what I'm saying? Staying in touch like this, man. So it's awesome. Really cool. Hey,
you're lucky. You have friends here. You have friends within a local regional area that you can go and reach out to. So it's not everybody has that. I mean, not to make it a downer. I mean, it is. I'm thankful that I've gotten friends here. You know, but it's it is something you have to take into consideration. You know, I do miss hell. I mean, it's hanging out with your knucklehead ass. So.
Oh, that what? and talking smack and planning what we're going to do next, right? We always do that. But look, we have a lot of listeners. Make sure to join our Discord channel. That's discord.gg/GTR. That's discord.gg/GTR. All right, let's go with the next voicemail.
Here we go.
Hey, Danny, Paris, and Pete. This is David Too Sly. You know me. Long-time follower, probably first-time caller. Anyways, I had a call in to... I just caught your last show, and I noticed that Danny is hoping for a Perfect Dark announcement this year, which I think would be a total mistake, seeing that their first-person shooter that they want to push right now is Halo Infinite, and anything else will take some of the shine away from that. So that probably won't happen until next year, and if they're smart. Secondly... you guys were having a conversation about some games coming out for free, like on Microsoft Game Pass, and you brought up Grounded, saying that it wouldn't have been a big thing if it wasn't on Game Pass. But I have to disagree. If you looked at Steam in the first 24 hours, Grounded was one of the top sellers. The Game Pass doesn't necessarily help games like Grounded, which are filling a genre that is very popular on Steam right now, which is the survival, and it's not going to help them that much. But other games that are more niche, or people that won't be able to understand them right away, such as, let's say, Rocket League, that is huge because it gets people in there to try it and see how addicting that game is. Another one that's coming up recently is Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout. They're also going free on PSN Plus, which I think is a huge deal because they require 60 players to start a game, and just the longevity of that kind of thing might not last, which also brings me to another point, like my ultimate question. Since I am mainly only a PC gamer right now, I'm looking at Microsoft Game Pass. I'm like, yes, that has a tremendous value, but there is one thing hurting it. That being that if you get the Game Pass, the only way to play those games is on the Xbox Store, which we all know is hot garbage. I think if they want to go to the next step and make Game Pass very, very successful, they would have to be able to allow you to play those games on different platforms other than the Microsoft Windows Store. What do you guys think? Anyways, love you guys. I'll catch you guys later.
Good old David. Man, it's been a minute since I talked to him. It's we play periodically. We'll play games and stuff like that together. But it's always good to hear his voice again. Shout out to David, former community manager.
Yeah, that's a great question, man.
Well,
because I've never tried out the Microsoft Store on PC, so I have no idea how it looks, you know, but tell us about it, man. For those that don't have
it. Is it
hard garbage?
Avoid it if you haven't. Unfortunately, you have no choice, though, right? Being on PC, you are relegated to the Microsoft Store, and it's not as smooth as it should be. I know Xbox just released their updated beta for the Xbox Store on the console. And from what I've seen across the board, I know you posted a video showcasing how quickly and how smoothly it works.
Super fast.
Hopefully it's something that lasts. Hopefully it's not something that is just like, it's fresh and hot and smooth now because it's new and there's not a lot of people on it. But once people start using it and once your machine starts going through, it doesn't fill up with cache and slow down again. But going through the Microsoft Store, It almost feels like it's hidden. It's almost like they don't want to give you access to it because it just doesn't work. I mean, once you find it, once you're familiar with it, it gets better. But it shouldn't have to be that way. It shouldn't be something that doesn't work seamlessly with your experience. It shouldn't hinder you from enjoying what you want to do. David did mention something, and I'm glad he brought it up because it's something that I said when we originally started talking about this and you disagreed, and I'm glad that, you know, somebody backed me up on this, but saying that a game like Fall Guys or Grounded wouldn't succeed without Game Pass, it's true. Because we saw it, we saw these games succeed on Steam because they don't rely on Game Pass. They were already in the top. I mean, hell, look at Fall Guys. It's not even on a free service. You have to pay for it. Let me correct that. If you're paying for PlayStation Now, you do get it for free. And that's just, you know, but that's because that, you know, that was part of the exclusivity agreement with PlayStation. But it's top five game right now. And it didn't rely on it being on a subscription service. That had nothing to do with its success. You know, a great game will succeed regardless of the advertising or marketing scheme that's put upon it. Grounded, from what David was mentioning, was, you know, you see, Steam showed that it was a success and a top seller within the first 24 hours. Wasn't reliant on it being, you know, featured on Game Pass. So, I mean, we're seeing it. And yeah. I said this, but like I said, a great game will succeed because it's a great game, not because of a marketing or sales scheme.
When we heard that Grounded had over 1 million players within 48 hours, when Microsoft and even Obsidian, the developers of the game, they never said 1 million players on Steam. They combined both Steam, Microsoft Store, and also Xbox One through Game Pass, also all included. And they put that all together, and then they said, we have over 1 million. So what I'm saying is, yeah, there's a good crowd of people that purchased that game on Steam. But again, it's all into one P. It's not just Steam, and that's it. It's not that's not the only reason why that game became successful. So what I said is, yes, Game Pass is also included, because PR-wise, that looks good for Microsoft just overall, promoting that game and talking about it, that they have over 1 million subscribers. It might be a lot on Steam that people download that game more than anywhere else. But I tell you this, Game Pass is also the reason why that game was successful. You can't just say it was just because of Steam and that's it. What I'm trying to say is it's everywhere, man, and Game Pass included. That's why I said that's the reason why it became successful. So it can't be just Steam and that's it. It's impossible. It's impossible. There's a lot of people that I know that are playing on Xbox Game Pass. So that crowd doesn't count then, because they're playing it. Now, is it more than Steam? I have no idea. I have no idea. But it's there. It's up there. So even if you look at the top most popular games right now on Game Pass, Grounded is up there. And I'm going to check right now. I have the app, and I'm going to check to see if it's still there. Because last time I checked, it was there.
I don't know. That almost sounds apologetic.
No, it's not.
I don't know.
For me, for my side?
I'm just going to keep it a buck here. That does sound defendist, right? Like you're just trying to defend...
No,
I don't know.
That's just how is defending it? Look, right now I'm checking. When I checked last time, Grounded was up there. The week or two that came out, it was up there at the most popular games.
Okay, look,
At
the end of the day,
but the thing is, it can't be successful without Game Pass. That's the whole point I was trying to say. It's not because Game Pass is the only reason. That's it. No, you need Steam.
But that was how you came across on the last show, which is what David was referring to. That was what your viewpoint at that time came off as, was that it was successful because it was on Game Pass.
Because here's the thing. With Steam, you buy the game and that's it. You can't try it out, nothing, right? With Game Pass, I could just download it. I don't like it. I won't play anymore. It's like watching a Netflix show. You just watch it. If it's not good, you just take it off, keep it moving. That's the reason why I say Game Pass, Pete. But hey, we're all going to have different opinions. This is all good, you know? So that's my opinion. I'm not saying I'm 100% right or correct, but that's how I see things, man, when it comes to that. So you want to go to the next question?
Yep, I'll play the next voice.
Hey, what's going on, Gamertag Radio? Jacob giving you guys a call from Charlotte. Observation question, topic about Game Pass, Xbox. So, you know, there's been a lot of hubbub about, you know, xCloud not being available on Apple devices, iOS, and yeah, that sucks. But, you know, it is a competition, it's a business, you know. Apple makes their decisions, Microsoft makes theirs. But what about xCloud or Game Pass being available on PlayStation? Like, if you're trying to, you know, be convenient to gamers and whatnot, you're missing out on the majority of the market share of console gamers by not trying to offer this service on PlayStation systems. And they said they're not in competition with Sony. Going forward, they're in a whole new phase. So wouldn't it make sense to try to add that to, you know, Sony systems? It just makes sense. What do you guys think? Once again, though, love the show. Keep up the good work.
Woo! You're sipping on that Kool-Aid, but no way. There is no way that is ever.
That's not gonna happen.
Going to happen. Yeah. You will never see a competing service on the competing platform. That just doesn't make sense. For that matter, why don't you just flip it? Why don't we see the Nintendo Virtual Store on Sony's, you know, PlayStation? Why don't we see the PlayStation Store on Xbox? You know, why don't we see the Vectrex ecosystem on, you know, on the Genesis? I mean, let's just think about those. And while, yes, that may sound anti-consumerism, that's not anti-consumerism at that point, I don't think.
Isn't that... That is crazy. Like, I just can't. Look, man, I get it. You try and let me dream. Hey, I'll let you dream it, but it's not going to happen. Microsoft releasing Xbox Game Pass on PlayStation? No. And plus, that Sony's trying to promote PlayStation now. Why would they add Game Pass to the service, man? It's not going to happen.
That's not happening impossible. At all. I'm sorry.
Not happening, man. But hey. I'll let you dream, because look, people let me dream all the time. It's good to dream. It's good to dream, but it's not going to happen.
Not happening.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a short break, and once we come back, we have more questions here only on Gamertag Radio.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Are we going to talk about our brand new sponsor for this week of Gamer Tag Radio, and that's Raycon. I've been going to Bryant Park all the time to record solo podcasts, or I could listen to podcasts through these earbuds called Raycon. Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want what you're listening to be what you're are listening to, not what your friends or roommates are listening to. Everyone needs a great pair of earbuds. Before you drop hundreds of dollars on a pair, check out wireless earbuds from Raycon. You already know that Raycon earbuds starts at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and that it just sounds as amazing as other top audio brands you know. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are the best ones yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable, perfect for conference calls or binging podcasts. Like I said, every time I go all the way to downtown, I use these earbuds, and I use it through when I take the train, when I go to, I'm sitting down at the park, and it just sounds amazing. It sounds great. And the thing that I like the most is the battery life. And also, if I'm listening to any hip hop tracks, like I say, Logic just released a new album, man, I just love that bass. That bass sound sounds really, really dope. To me, it's a game changer when it comes to that. It's cheap, great quality, very comfortable, and I think this is the right product for you. Unlike some other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish with no dangling wires or stems to distract anyone during video calls. The company was co-founded by Ray J and celebrities like Snoop Dogg, Brandy, Mike Tyson, and others are obsessed with Raycons. But now, you Gamertag Radio listeners, now is the time for you to get the latest and the greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/GTR. That's buyraycon.com/GTR for 15% off. Once again, GTR listeners, 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Take advantage of that right now. So once again, go to buyraycon.com/GTR.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio. We have questions here. Pete, so I have also other emails. Man, these are very long ones. Whew.
Get
so this is one. This is one from Brazil, which is good. I'm gonna cut it short because this is really long. But I think it's a very important email to see from the other side, because I think we don't hear this type of feedback about Game Pass outside the United States. All right. So this is from Andres, from all the way from Brazil. Shout out to him, and thank you for listening, man. So he says, "Hey, Danny, this is Andre from Brazil. I've been listening to you guys in this Paris show at one of the IGN podcasts a couple weeks ago. Since then, I will patiently waiting to hear all your podcasts, especially your opinions, for your opinions. I'm usually just a listener, and he said that he's not usually sending emails, a text like that. But in the most recent episode of GTR, in which you're just having a conversation in the park, you encouraged me to send this email." He's talking about the one that I had a conversation with Tony, which everybody says that was like a great episode, man. So thank you for listening. He says, look, he is 33 years old, engineer from Brazil, and will tell you why Xbox Game Pass is so good, in my opinion. Brazil is a very nice place to live, but when you have or need to import something, you're in trouble. Our import fees are high, and our currency keeps getting less worth in front of U.S. dollar. In today's exchange, $1 is worth 5.33 Brazilian reals. I think that's how you pronounce. I think that's how you pronounce the dollar over there. I'm not sure, but so he says. So when a new game launches around the world, it costs $60 in Brazil. We pay around 250 to 350. What? In comparison, our minimum wage is around 1050. What I'm saying is, to buy a new recently launched game in Brazil, you have to pay almost 30% of a minimum wage, which is an outrage. Don't get me wrong, I think games are a work of art and deserve to be valued as such. As of this condition, I'll try to be cautious when buying a new game, usually dividing the time I play for its cost. All right, I'm going to skip that part. And here's the part where he talks about why Game Pass is very important for someone like him in Brazil. He says that when it officially launched in Brazil for around 30 or so, $6 for over here, to have access to all those games, and he says is unbelievable. So it's a very long email. I'm not going to read it all, but Pete, in your opinion, what do you think about that in a situation like him that, you know, he will buy games once in a while, but, and it's true, I know a lot of people that live in Brazil, and they tell me the same exact thing, man, that the import fees over there is ridiculous in Brazil. And, oh, by the way, I forgot to read this part, too. He says that the Nintendo Switch is even worse over there to actually buy it in Brazil. So What you think, man?
I mean, I'm not surprised about that. Living in Europe, I am subject just as much to import and VAT, right? So at the end of the day, because of where I live, I end up paying more than manufacturer suggested retail price, right? Most games would be 60, but there's going to be the import tax, and it's just a way of life in other countries outside of the States. So that doesn't surprise me. And then when you take into consideration countries such as where he is right now, it there will be an increase in those because it's more difficult to get goods and services in those countries than it would be in the larger countries, Europe, whether it be the UK or Japan or the States. So you have to be a little more frugal than you normally would be when making purchases to make sure, as he said, that you're getting your value back. You're making that return on investment. And that's something that we've talked about here in the past. I'd rather pay $100 on a game such as like Escape from Tarkov, right? I paid $100 for that game. And it was early access, but I've got hundreds of hours into it. And that translates into the proper value for me versus me spending $60 on a game that I played. Mm-hmm. And within the first hour, I realized the error of my ways and it sucks, right? And then it's like, damn, all right, now what do I do? I'm stuck with the game. I don't want to play it and I'm screwed. Things like that really force you to truly pull out the PowerPoint deck, right? Start doing the Excel formulas. Like, does it make sense to buy a game X or game Y, right? And sometimes you just have to come up with that with your value calculator. Does it make sense? Does it make, am I going to get my return on investment, whether it's $60 or $100? And that takes into consideration. So now when you drop $15 or, the equivalent of $15 a month on Game Pass, or if you're lucky enough to take advantage of some of the other, discounts and savings from before and get to have a service like whether it's Game Pass or PlayStation Now or whatever that allow you to play these top tier first person or not first person, first party games at or near launch, and you don't have to drop that monster equivalent of $60 to $80. At that point, it doesn't make sense. And to back up what was said and what Paris's, conversation is, and actually I think the next voicemail will probably be the perfect segue into this, this conversation, is that at $15 a month, and especially when we're talking in particular with Game Pass, and having day one access to all of those first party titles, day and date that they're released on the console, think about it. You're going to get to play over a 4 to 5 games. You've paid for one game, right? Four games in four titles, you've paid for 4 months or whatever you've paid, it almost doesn't make sense. But as the consumer, it's the right thing to do. So if I pay $15 a month over over a 4 month period, that's your $60 title. That's one title that you could play. But, and I think I did the math with Khalif on a DM or on Twitter, something like that. And it was like, for $15 a month, you get to play a game a month. The entire, I think it's like 11 months, first party titles that are slated for 2021, you'll get access to a minimum of one first party title a month throughout 2021. The order is, kind of juggle it, especially now with the delay of Halo Infinite.
Or Halo, yeah.
But that throws it into the 2021 mix. And at that point, think about it. You're going to get a brand new first party title every month for $15 a month. If you did the math of that, you're looking at $15 a month times, let's say, 12. Okay,
and that's Game Pass Ultimate, because you could get the cheaper one, $10 if you want. If you just want,
Let's do the math real quick, right? So 15 times 12 is $180 over the course of one calendar year, right?
Yeah.
But let's take $60 a game times 12, $720. $720, yeah, right? So $720 minus $180, you're saving $540 a year in games just on the Game Pass side, right? Things are obviously different on other platforms. But if Xbox is your primary platform, it's a no-brainer. Yeah. It's a no-brainer.
No-brainer. And also, I want to add this too, Pete. So forget about the United States. Let's go outside the United States, which, for example, Andre, first of all, I just want to say thank you for sending that email. I think this is a really great discussion about this. But for him and for other people outside the United States that can't afford an Xbox Series X, and all they have is this, Pete, an Android phone. They download it, subscribe, and they could play all those games. Like if they're watching Netflix at home. You know, imagine someone in the continent of Africa, or let's say somewhere in China or in Korea, you know, like they could easily.
In China, that's not happening. China's going to control
that. Well, that's true. That's true. But I'm saying I think they're planning to launch that, because there is Xbox over there and PlayStation, Nintendo Switch in China. But they're very strict, of course, of the content that's available. But in Korea, South Korea, I even got to see an ad of them promoting one of the phone companies over there promoting Xbox Game Pass, you know. So, and look, you could play all those games without the Series X. All you need is just an internet connection. Imagine someone in Cuba, because in Cuba, Wi-Fi is only in certain locations in the capital and also just in the island in general. So let's say you have your Android phone and you have your Xbox controller or PlayStation controller, and you go to the park and you connect to Wi-Fi and you're subscribed to that service, you could start playing Gears, Halo, whatever games is really available in that service, and that's it, and you're good. You know, so we also got to think about that, man, because that was the whole point I was trying to make when I had a conversation with Tony when we were at Bryant Park, that the whole console war thing is done. We have to move past that, because if, let's say, PlayStation sells 10 million units of their console, right? But there's 50 million subscribers and not that many sales from Xbox, like when it comes to Xbox Series X, does that make Xbox a success or a failure? I think that's a success. And I think overall, it's a success for the gaming industry in general. Right. I don't care if it's PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo, because it's pushing the industry forward. It's not the typical, let's just sell the console and that's it. No, now we have options, man. It is optional if you want to buy a Series X or Lockhart, or you want to go strictly with mobile, tablet, or you want to stay with your old console. That's fine. We have a lot of options now. We didn't have that back then, man. Back then, Pete, you remember those days? You either buy this, the Sega Genesis, or Super Nintendo, and that's it.
Yep.
You want blood from Mortal Kombat? You gotta go buy the Sega Genesis version. You know, it was like that for us back then. And that's why I want you guys, whoever's listening, once High Score comes out, there's an episode where it talks about the console war back then, how everything all started. And it was Sega. It was the company that started that, because they wanted to sell units big time. And then us as gamers, like, oh, I'm Nintendo. No, I'm Sega. So we got brainwashed with all these companies back in the 90s. And then we start debating and talking all this stuff, like, for fun, like with our friends. And sometimes we even took it personal back then, man. You know what I'm saying? So that was the console war. Nowadays, it's not even about that anymore, man. I think we're in a good path when it comes to the changes that we've been seeing now with gaming in general, man. I think that's going to be really, really good, man. And I can't wait. Can't wait. Look, yesterday, Pete, on my Galaxy S9, it's not the newest one, I was playing a couple games for like an hour or two, and I decided to capture that video, and I put it on my Twitter account, right. and it was good. It was a lot of fun. I was playing online, Gears 5. I haven't played that game in a while, you know. So, but by the way, I know you mentioned earlier about the design from the Microsoft Store. Mm. and you mentioned also the dashboard for Xbox One. So the new app that just came out for Game Pass beta for Android, it has that similar layout of the Xbox One version. Exactly the same layout.
Interesting.
But mobile.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, I hope, because I haven't seen the Microsoft Store version, but I hope they could do something similar like that. And also the Xbox One to the Microsoft Store, so it could be a lot faster, less crashing, all that, man. So we'll see. I hope that happens.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
But on the app, you could change cloud, console, or PC. So you could just download whatever games you want from there that's available on Game Pass, and it automatically will pop up and download on your devices or xCloud, whatever you want. So sorry, that was like a very long, long answer, but yeah. What's the next voicemail?
All right, next voicemail.
Hey, Pete, Danny, Paris. I'm a new time caller. Really enjoy your show. Thank you for what you do. I just had a question or a statement, depending on how you want to look at it. So a couple of times in a couple of episodes now, Paris has referred to Game Pass as being the future. And I guess for me, what I find concerning about Game Pass is that I think it will hamper innovation in the future of gaming. I really do, because when you look at the economics of games and how they are made, how much they cost, and to develop, I really don't know how subscriptions can make up the difference, or can even if, say, a game like GTA, right, Assassin's Creed, those big tentpole games, I really don't see them being able to be financed through Game Pass. So it's just for me, when the argument for Xbox Series X is Game Pass, becomes a point of where are we really going to get the quality games? And I know you guys talked about it, and you disagree, and that's fine. I just for me, it's very hard to believe that we never got quality exclusives from Xbox. Set aside Halo and Forza, maybe, right? But not too many, right? In three generations, and this, can we really expect them to change with Game Pass? That's my thing. Anyway, thank you guys so much, and appreciate your show. This is my first time call. I hope to call again. Bye.
See, that was part of what I was alluding to in the previous segment.
Yeah.
So I want to break down what he was talking about. First, using GTA as an example kind of counters his own argument, just because of the way that they've been continuing to reiterate on that title and allow it to self-sustain itself over the last 5 years, even beyond hitting all of its initial sales records, not just on the platform, not just on console, but then on PC afterwards, where it's probably had its most success, right? You've got, you know, especially seeing that it's been in the top 10 in sales, or if not top 5 sales, every year since it came out for the last 5 years. And it's been able to do that on top of the fact that it's the base game itself has been great, but the mods have enabled that game to continue to reiterate. And I mean, look at the RP, you know, the RPS of servers that and the functionality that it does. It's amazing. Going to the subscription side, though, I have to understand the subscription models aren't designed for individual sales, but rather to maintain the consumer within its ecosystem, right? So yeah, Danny goes out and buys his, you know, he buys his Xbox, he jumps onto Xbox Gold, Games Pass Ultimate Gold Star, you know, the 13-letter acronym it has. But now you have Danny inside the ecosystem. He's playing Halo, he's playing Sea of Thieves, he's playing Forza Motorsport, he's playing Ori and the Will of the Wisps, he's playing Gears. Right there, that's 5 to 6 top tier titles that have been able to succeed and been, you know, lauded as a success. And Danny, just for you, I'll say even Sunset Overdrive, okay? Mm-hmm. There you have titles that people have enjoyed. So to say that they've had a quality control issue is kind of wishy-washy. And this actually goes to my next. So if you don't mind, Danny, I want to play the next voicemail because it goes into that next line.
Can I really wanted to answer that very
quickly. Jump in. Go ahead.
Because this is important. So, Pete, you're subscribed to Disney Plus.
Yes.
Netflix.
Yes.
And other services similar to those, right? Mm-hmm. We have found crappy quality TV series and movies, mm-hmm. and we found gems that were like, yo, I can't wait. Ozark. Pete, you love Ozark. Ozark,
Casa de Papel, shows like those.
Right? I love Stranger Things. I love Dark, right? Of course, I found trashy content on multiple subscription service, right? Yes, we all have to agree that Xbox needs to step up their game when it comes to quality content. I agree. That's 100% I agree with it, right? But to say that we're not going to see top quality content because now we're focusing now on the subscription service, to me is straight up BS. I totally disagree with that so much, man, because now and I know Paris and P mentioned this weeks ago on our show, that if a company like one of the studios from Xbox release a game, now it's not risky to release that game, because imagine if it was just released just for the store and it doesn't sell, it's a flop. But if you release it on Game Pass, at least people will still continue with the service. They will try it out. And you, I feel like companies like Xbox and other studios, now they could take a risk on creating new type of experiences. It could be AA, AAA, whatever you want, whatever type of game that you want like that, man. So I'm a huge fan of Mandalorian. Love that show on Disney Plus. Some people even consider it better than the trilogy that just came out, and that was the budget on that is even way more than the TV series. So is Star Wars going down because of a subscription service? No. There's going to be multiple Marvel shows now, Marvel TV shows, and even movies on Disney Plus. Is that a bad thing because now it's on Disney Plus? Look, Pete, I just don't see it. I think people are not seeing the bigger picture when it comes to subscription service, because now companies could take a risk, man. Even if it's a flop or great reviews, at least they could do that. I just mentioned earlier, High Score, the documentary series that's coming up for Netflix, is a well-produced show. Very well-produced. And I even mentioned to you to watch it. It is so good. And that's on Netflix.
Yep.
So I just want to say that very quick. And now we could go to the next next voicemail.
No worries.
If you want. Yeah.
What's going on, Gamertag Radio? I hope you brothers are doing great. This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just wanted to ask you guys about Xbox, Microsoft. You know, that is my favorite platform. But do you guys think that there is a quality control problem over at Microsoft? First off, I want to commend Phil Spencer and the team for pushing back Halo. I think that was a wonderful, fantastic decision. But I have questions. Here's a game that is allegedly, because we don't know 100%, but it's been in the works for about 5 years. And you mean to tell me that over that course of time, you didn't know what shape the game was in? I mean, I find that very interesting. And then you have games like Sea of Thieves that have come out kind of broken, lacking content, but over the years has built up to be something better. Now you have Grounded that's starting out kind of on the same path. So, I mean, I'm just curious to know, guys, do you think that there is some kind of problem over there at Microsoft, or Xbox, I should say, with quality control? Anyway, guys, you are absolutely wonderful. And I say that in the most respectful way. It's not to be offensive. It's just, I just wonder about some of the decisions that are made with some of these games that release, you know, on the Xbox platform this generation. Anyway, sorry for being long-winded, but you guys are absolutely amazing. And with that being said, you guys take care and have a good one. Bye-bye.
Always love hearing from Keon.
Keon, shout out to him, man.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's subjective, right? he mentions quality control issues, but outside of the last, you know, the last title released by Microsoft for Halo, has there been a quality control issue? Has there been a quality control issue for Sea of Thieves? Has there been a quality control issue for Forza, for Ori, for Gears?
That's a good thing. Look, man.
It's a subjective question, right? Because some people
it is.
Some people it will is. Say the same thing about Anthem. Some people will say the same thing about Mass Effect Andromeda. For, you know, and people throw in that same shade I just forgot the name. BioWare, right? But same as Sea of Thieves, where he says it launched in hot garbage. Andromeda allegedly fixed itself after the fact. Anthem, we all know what happened with that. We saw it with Hello Games for the game that the space game. I can't remember the name of it now.
No Man's Sky.
We saw how that failed at launch, but then they went back to the drawing board. They fixed it, and we saw what it became. People love it now. So I mean, it happens. One thing that I do want to comment, and I think it may be what potentially could be the issue. A lot of the people that are currently leading these teams, I think they may have fallen out of, I want to say they've lost it, but maybe they're not what today's consumer, they're not representative of today's consumer, right? They may have a vision of something that might be great, but today's consumer thing may have changed, and people are still releasing games that are still tied to that old way of game development. Does that make sense?
I see what you're saying. I kind of understand what you're trying to say, but here's the thing too, man. I know that sometimes, and I think I mentioned this a couple times on the podcast, that sometimes when studios are working on these games, they get stuck in this bubble and it's just them, the whole team watching and seeing the same exact thing, right? So they're like, oh man, this is good. Oh, people are going to like it. Oh, people are going to love that we're taking it back, right? With this type of graphics, like the old way, the old Halo way. Right. Yeah, because look, throughout couple years now, I met people from 343 at different events and they're excited. Oh man, I can't wait for you guys to watch our new game. So to them, the game is amazing, right? Once you get out of that bubble, everybody's going to have different opinions about it. To me, I enjoyed the demo, personally, for me. You know, I don't know about you, Pete, but personally for me, I think it was good. I liked it. Was it perfect? No. But I knew it was a demo. But I loved the direction they were going with, right? So that's one. And I know we also talked about this in the past. Same exact situation happened with Anthem. The developers were really excited to show that game to a group of people. Mm-hmm. Paris was one of them, right? They're super excited. Oh, I can't wait. This is the next Destiny, you know, that type of vibe, right? But then that group got to see it and they're like, yeah, this game is not that good. Like, so it surprised the developers. So sometimes we also got to think from that point of view too, of like, maybe the developers are excited and to them it's like a special, amazing game, man. But once we get it, it's a totally different case. That's why for the past few years, actually now it's been since 06 or so, companies are inviting influencers or just fans of different games to play their games privately at the studio so they could give them feedback because they would love to get that honest feedback from a gamer instead of from a developer, you know?
Right.
So I've been going to a lot of, for the past few years, I've been going to a lot of the indie meetups of game developers, right? And I went also one to last year in Dominican Republic. And the developers will always show their games to other developers. And the one thing I told them at the event, I was like, you guys got to stop doing that. You guys got to start inviting gamers, fans of just gaming, because they are the ones that are going to play your games, man. It's not all developers are going to be playing your game.
Right.
So how are you going to get honest feedback, you know? Now, another thing I want to say before we wrap it up, before we wrap up this question is that Microsoft acquired a bunch of studios, right? A bunch. And we only got to see like only like nine of potential games that's coming out, whatever, and so on, right? But it's going to take a while for us to see more. So I think like maybe like 2 or 3 years, or even sometimes even more, we're probably going to see all other games that the companies, all the different studios have been working
right
on. You know, so let's give it some time. I think it's too new. And I'm excited to see what Xbox have in store, man, for us, man. You know what I'm saying? So just want to mention that.
That's
go
fine.
Ahead.
No. It's going back to or you know what we were originally talking about. At the end of the day, quality is subjective to the person that's the ultimate, you know, that's going to play it at the end of the day, right? So we have this constant back and forth about Sunset Overdrive. I mentioned it earlier. You're a huge fan of it. I didn't see the allure or the excitement for it. But does that mean that quality control didn't do their job? Absolutely not.
No.
Not at all. It's just that game just wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. What I commented on earlier was whether the leads of whether it be, you know, Xbox or whomever, are they perhaps out of touch with what is what people are looking forward to playing today, right? But that doesn't fall on us. That then is the responsibility of our Phil Spencers and Aaron Greenbergs, those that dictate and determine the future for Xbox. Mm-hmm. We see what Phil has done currently with Xbox, and we're hoping that continues. Right, I'm hoping that everything that he has set forth as the future path for Microsoft and for Xbox itself, and actually I shouldn't say Microsoft because that's actually Satya Nadella's job, but you know the path that he has set forth for Xbox in general has been solid. Yeah, when he first came on board, it was a dumpster fire. We all know that. We all say and we all agree with that. But it's not like that anymore, right? We've seen him say, okay, we know that we have a catalog issue. We don't have the catalog of games that gamers want to keep returning back to the Microsoft ecosystem, to the Xbox ecosystem. So what did they do? They went out and they picked up Obsidian. They picked up Private Divisions. They picked up Ninja Theory. You know, obviously they already had, one that did one that did Gears.
Oh, the Coalition?
The Coalition. They already had the Coalition. But we've seen how they've gone across and they've started picking up all these other studios. And it's just a matter of time. Again, those the final products will determine a lot. Obviously, we've seen a phenomenal forward stance with Xbox Game Pass, which we've talked a lot about today. Mm-hmm. But that next catalog of games, the success of those is what is going to be the thing that pushes Xbox to the forefront and makes people want to continue and stay within the ecosystem.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, I agree. I totally agree with that, man. So do we have any other voicemails or that's it?
No, that's it.
All right. Over an hour of just going blap, 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 blap. Just talk.
That
was good. It was good. Great emails and also voice messages. But look, everybody, they're listening. And if you have never sent us a voicemail, this is your opportunity to be one of those like long-time listener, first-time caller. Do it. Go ahead. Send us a voicemail. Go to SpeakPipe. You could go over there to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio or email us or send us an email. We'll definitely play on the podcast. All right. Anything else, Pete? Any other quick last minute things before we wrap it up?
Fall Guy Game of the Year.
All right. Game of the Year. I don't have it. Look, I can't wait for that game to come out for the Switch or Xbox One. I'll definitely play that right away. Can't wait. I heard nothing but great things about it.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
And I hope they add crossplay so I could challenge Pete in Paris. You know what I'm saying?
You don't want that.
Oh, no? Okay.
I want that.
Have you been streaming? Have you been streaming it?
On DTR? A little bit earlier in the week when I set up the new layout for the show.
Yeah.
For my Twitch layout, and it's stupid. We'll probably be playing it again tonight. So those of you watching on Twitch right now, I'll be streaming later tonight. What we're playing tonight, I still haven't determined. So we'll see.
All right. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1061. And we'll be back here Thursday with a brand new episode of GTR. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.